You can tune us in at any hour of the day. Now let's get quiet. We're on the radio. Let's listen to another number, and we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. We'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us.
Well, then, turn back with me again, if you will, to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. Notice what it says, if you will. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Our subject today, the picture of Holy Spirit conviction. When God sets out to save a sinner, the Lord God of heaven doesn't ask that sinner if that individual would like to be saved. The Lord God of heaven doesn't either come to that sinner in a small, insignificant manner. But we find when God sets out to save a sinner, he moves upon that individual by stopping that sinner in his tracks. We find that Holy Spirit conviction today is unknown by the vast majority of our religious people. It is unpreached by the vast majority of our religious preachers. And then it is unexperienced by the vast majority of our so-called religious people at this hour. To miss Holy Spirit conviction means to miss God's effectual call. To miss God's effectual call means to miss repentance. To miss repentance means to miss Christ. And to miss Christ means to miss everything. You see, no man can confess that Jesus is the Lord but through the Holy Ghost. And that no man can enter into heaven except a man be born again. And as our Lord Jesus said very clearly, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Holy Spirit conviction is found in the Old Testament as well as it is in the New. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Now, all these realities are found here in our portion of the Word of God. And yet the vast majority of individuals have never seen these things. Now, as I've said before, I'll say again, if you've never been under Holy Spirit conviction, you're not going to understand what we're speaking about at this hour. But rest assured of one thing, my friend, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. As I've said before, I'll say again to your hearing that no man can confess Jesus as Lord but through the Holy Ghost. And also, that no man can be saved unless the Holy Spirit bring that individual unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, God doesn't have a dozen different ways to get saved. He has one way. His way will have the characteristics of your conversion if it's genuinely of the Lord. And your salvation experience will parallel that which is found in the Word of God, or else your salvation experience is not true. And it's not right. And my friend, today, the devil seeks to trick so many people. You see, at this present hour, instead of having a conceptual salvation, we have instead a contractual salvation. Individuals are told, Sign your name on the dotted line, and you're saved. My friend, God doesn't deal with an individual that way. Now, I urge you, as I've urged you before, you listen like you've never listened before, as today we talk to you for a few moments about this Holy Spirit conviction. Notice carefully, the last two lessons we brought to you, we first of all pointed out that Jonah was a picture of Christ. Secondly, we pointed out also that Jonah is a picture of a sinner trying to get away from the Lord God of heaven. And then today we are going to look at Jonah, and we see in Jonah a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit conviction. In verses 1 through 3, we see God's command given to Jonah. We see also Jonah's disobedience, and we see Jonah's desire to try to flee away from the Lord God of heaven. This is a fulfillment of the Word of God, where it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether turned out of the way, and they are altogether unprofitable, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one." As I've said before, we're going to say again, no sinner wants to be saved if that sinner can help it. Salvation is a supernatural experience of that individual with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, prior to that revelation of Christ to that heart, we find that there comes a traumatic experience as the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. Look with me, if you will, at verses 1 through 3. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Here you have a picture of God's Holy Spirit. As Jonah was in rebellion against the Lord God of heaven, and Jonah, as it were, was defying God to do something about it, we see the Lord moving after Jonah in grace. Notice, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Here we have the key verses. Here, the word "great wind." Now, wind is an emblem of God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, we see this set forth very clearly, where the Word of God tells us that the wind is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, if you will. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." The wind is a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit in Jonah. Then in Psalm 107, and we find in verses 25 down through 29, again, we see the reference to the wind. Listen to what it says. Psalm 107, verse 25. "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Here you see the picture of God's Holy Spirit. You see, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, without Holy Spirit conviction, there's no repentance. Without repentance, there's no Christ. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Here you see God in grace moving upon Jonah. The great wind here is the emblem of the Holy Spirit. Now, when God begins to deal with the sinner, The first thing he has to do is awake that sinner out of his dead sleep. You see, a sinner without Christ is destined for hell, but a sinner without Christ is dead to his awful condition. Jonah here was in the center of this ship, and he was sound asleep, and that ship was rocking and rolling to and fro, and it was about to go under because of the great waves that were arrayed against it, and Jonah was unaware of the awful condition that he's in. In like manner, it's the same thing with a sinner without Christ. Until God shakes that sinner out of his dead sleep, we find that sinner will not understand. And I want to say this to you very kindly. Judgment does not bring repentance. It takes an act of God, the Holy Spirit. And we see when God in grace goes after that sinner like he went after Jonah, he sent the great wind, and that wind caused that ship to roll and rock and reel to and fro and on the ocean. And we find that those seasoned sailors became very afraid. And then we see that they saw that this one reality. And this is what happens when God begins to deal with an individual. These sailors, they learned, and they learned by revelation that God was against them. Notice again, verse 5 of Jonah 1. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. You see, there comes in Holy Spirit conviction a great disturbance in the heart and life of the individual. There was a great disturbance in the heart and lives of these men on this ship. The reason? The Lord God of heaven had sent that great wind, and that ship was rocking and rolling to and fro. It was about to go under. Also, these men became afraid because there was revealed to them that God was against them. Now, my friend, let me stop right here. Has the Lord God of heaven ever done this to your heart at this hour? Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my friend, listen, you're going to have to learn this. You will learn as God begins to deal with you in Holy Spirit conviction. There will come upon you the revelation that the Lord God of heaven is angry with you absolutely. He's angry with you personally, and beloved, he's angry with you eternally unless there is a concession and an appeasement made unto the Lord God of heaven. You see, God has to be satisfied or you cannot be saved. And when our Lord opens the heart of an individual and the revelation of God dawns upon them that the Lord is against them, rest assured of one thing. There's a fear that comes upon their soul. Oh, my prayer has been, even as I've been preparing this lesson to preach to you, that the fear of God will fall upon this church. The fear of God will fall upon this nation. And the fear of God will fall upon this radio audience. Because without the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, there cannot be any salvation. And the crying reality in our religious world at this hour is that there's no fear of the Lord God of heaven. Now, when God the Holy Spirit deals with a sinner, he goes after that individual absolutely. Then there comes the revelation that God is against them. Also, the third thing is this. They are made to realize and that they are shut up to the reality of their own personal helplessness. Look again in verse 6. The shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They knew that they couldn't get out, and they were afraid. Then, in verses 11 through 13, we read these words. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And Jonah said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now what do you have here? The third thing these men learned, and so will you, if the Holy Spirit ever deals with your heart, you will be shut up to the reality of your own helplessness. These men rode hard in verse 13. Then the word wrought. It means that the sea wrought against them. It was tempestuous. In other words, the sea was absolutely against them or proceeded against them. And in like manner, when God the Holy Spirit opens the heart of an individual and begins to deal with that person is shut up to the reality of their own helplessness. They are shut up to the reality that they have no faith and that they cannot believe. And unless God give them the faith to believe, they shall never be saved. Now let me ask you a question. Has God ever done this to your heart, my friend? Or are you in this category at this hour? If you are, I praise the Lord that you will, that you are. And my hope is that the Lord will so deal with your heart and bring such fear upon you and such desperation upon you that even now as you're listening to this feeble voice, you fall down in front of your radio and beg for the Lord God of heaven to save you. Then the fourth thing about these men was this. They were standing at God's disposal. In verse 14, we read, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You see, these sailors learned that God was sovereign, and under Holy Spirit conviction, a sinner learns that God is sovereign, and he stands at God's disposal. These sailors knew that the Lord God of heaven could save them, or he could cause them to die, and they were at his disposal, and friend, they knew that they knew it, and in true Holy Spirit conviction, the same reality takes place. Has it ever dawned upon your heart in like manner, my radio friend? Oh, I hope and pray that it has. And last of all, they were shown the only means of salvation. Now these men, listen now, these sailors, they were taught and they knew that they knew it, that they had to depend absolutely upon Jonah. You see, Jonah had to die for them. They didn't want to put him to death and they fought against it for a while, but they were shut up to the reality that Jonah was the only means of their salvation. And in like manner, when the Holy Spirit of God opens the heart of an individual and brings that individual under conviction, that individual is shown his own helplessness. That individual also, he knows what it means to stand at God's disposal, and he's afraid that God will not save him. Then, last of all, that individual is shown the only means of God's salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, at this hour, your only means of salvation is to cast yourself upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as these sailors had to cast themselves upon Jonah. Notice, they had to throw him overboard. In like manner, you must, and you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to depend upon him. There is no other way, because Christ is the only mediator that God has provided, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. O sinner friend, is the Lord dealing with your heart at this hour? If he is, begin now to cry, and cry mightily unto the Lord to have mercy upon you and save you, and don't stop crying until he does. My hope is that he'll save you, even now, until we meet again. This is Pastor Peter North here saying, Goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.